This is the story of Niccolo Paganini, who was the most famous violinist of all times and a truly great composer. Genoa, the birthplace of Columbus, is a beautiful, quaint old city in Italy. It has a busy harbor, elegant boulevards and squares, but there are also the slums, narrow, dark, and dirty streets that look full of danger and mystery. One of them bears the strange name, Street of the Black Cat. Here, Niccolo Paganini was born in 1782. Italians are a gay, music-loving people, and Father Paganini, a dock worker, was no exception. He played the mandolin very well, and liked to accompany his friends when they got together for an evening of singing. His wife, Teresa, also adored any kind of music. Money was scarce in the little household, but both parents were determined to have their children study an instrument as early as possible. Carlo, the elder boy, started to play the violin. Nobody ever thought of teaching Niccolo, who at that time was just a little toddler making mud pies. But something strange began to happen. They could not get him out of the room during Carlo's lessons. There he was, frail, delicate, five-year-old, crouched in a corner, never taking his enormous black eyes from his brother's instrument. It almost seemed as if the small boy could understand what the teacher explained and wanted to hoard every little scrap of instruction. One day, when nobody was looking, Niccolo suddenly seized the violin and began to play little tunes, clearly, perfect in pitch and rhythm, better than Carlo, who had studied all the time. Well, there was a sensation for the Street of the Black Cat. All the neighbors and their barefooted little children came on the run to listen and to cheer. From that day on, Father Paganini realized that he had a genius in his house, and he lost no time. At once, he started to teach the boy himself. The happy, carefree days of childhood were gone for little Niccolo. Hour after hour, he was made to practice, locked up in a room, while other boys of his age played games at the seashore. When he stopped too long to rest, he would be scolded and punished. Often his mother pleaded for her beloved darling. "Antonio, you drive the boy too hard. He's so thin and pale. Let him rest a while, please. Don't you remember how sick he was as a baby? We almost lost him." "Never mind," came the sharp reply. "This is my business. I'll have him ready for a concert performance within a year or two. Then we shall all be on Easy Street with plenty of money coming in. Hey, Nico, are you dawdling again? Fa presto, fa presto. Hurry up." How many times were those words shouted at the boy? But he didn't mind. So eager was he to learn, so determined to master all the difficulties of bowing and fingering, that he fiddled away like a little demon, and melodies of his own were already shaping in his mind. Soon, they would develop into exquisite masterpieces. Niccolo was 8 years old when he played his first concert at a church in Genoa. It was a sensation. The audience did not know whether to believe their eyes or their ears. Such heavenly sounds. Such dazzling passages produced by the tiny hands of a child. Nico became the talk of the town. Invitations for well-paid performances poured in. Father Paganini saw his dreams come true. This wonder child would be the greatest violinist on earth and make them all rich. But first, he must study much harder. Now with the finest masters available. Niccolo was handed over to the famous violin teacher Costa, while Signor Necco, a well-known composer, gave him lessons in harmony. The 8-year-old had already written his first sonata and a number of difficult variations on a French folk tune. And why not? Mozart composed a lot of music when he was even younger than I, the child used to say. I want to be just as great as he is, and my music will be real hard to play. Passed by, and Niccolo's teachers realized that they could no longer show him a thing. He had acquired a dazzling technique. But that did not satisfy him. Now he started to look out for more difficulties, to invent stunts and sound effects nobody had ever heard before. It was time for him to be on his own and to set out for the big world. In 1796, Niccolo and Father Paganini arrived in Parma on the first stop of a concert tour. By now, Niccolo would have loved to travel alone, like a grown-up, but his father would take no nonsense. Besides, he had to keep a watchful eye on the money coming in. Working from morning till night, Niccolo often felt weak and very tired. Only his willpower and burning ambition kept him going. In Parma, he learned the last secrets of counterpoint and orchestration from the great masters Ghiretti and Paer. Niccolo's first published composition was a work of tremendous difficulty, the 24 Caprices for Violin Solo. To this very day, even the greatest virtuosi consider them a challenge. young genius wrote these caprices in an ecstasy of joy over a wonderful Stradivarius violin, which he had won on a bet. When a wealthy friend dared him to play, at sight, a very difficult manuscript, Paganini performed it without a flaw, at rapid speed. There just wasn't any music he could not have read upside down. Later on, he won a priceless Guarnerius in the same way. In 1800, Niccolo started on an extended concert tour all over Italy. For the first time, alone. At long last, he had broken loose from his father. These concerts were a phenomenal success. The king and queen invited him to play at the palace. And the Princess of Lucca, Emperor Napoleon's sister, appointed the artist to conduct her private orchestra. He held a position for several years and became the darling of high society. Titled ladies would beg Niccolo to attend their glittering parties. Valuable gifts arrived almost daily at his quarters, often with perfumed little love letters tucked in. Unfortunately, being so young and inexperienced, he once became involved with some shrewd adventurers. Gambling proved a great temptation, and he often lost considerable sums. When it got so far that he almost had to pawn one of his precious violins, Paganini made a firm resolution to end his wild living. Soon thereafter, Paganini disappeared from the drawing rooms of the beautiful ladies and from the concert stage. He lived in seclusion at the castle of a princess, devoting himself completely to his music. During those peaceful years, he composed several duets for guitar and violin, some string quartets, and one of his most beautiful works, the Concerto in D Major for violin and orchestra. So brilliant and incredibly hard is this piece that Paganini did not permit it to be published during his lifetime. It was his and his alone. When Paganini did appear in public again 3 years later, he played as no human being had ever played before. In fact, there were many who did not believe that he was human. Just to look at him would scare you. A tall, long-haired man, thin as a skeleton, deathly pale, his black eyes burning with passion, while the bony fingers made the violin speak a magic language. No wonder some superstitious people imagined a ghost was guiding the violinist's hand. Ugly rumors began to spread. Where had Paganini been all those years? In jail? For murder? And he has the evil eye, don't you know? Quick, cross yourself. This man has a pact with the devil so he could become the greatest fiddler on earth. Now he plays the witch's dance. Who else could write such a piece? It's black magic. Paganini, a good Catholic, just laughed and did nothing to stop the silly gossip. Perhaps he even enjoyed being the mystery man, because it made for good business. Every recital was sold out, and the artist reaped a fortune. All kinds of honors and decorations were showered upon him. In Vienna, where the audiences went wild with enthusiasm, he was made virtuoso of the court by the Austrian emperor. The Pope conferred on this great Italian the knighthood of the Golden Spur. Now he could call himself Baron Paganini. But for all the music world, he had a much higher rank. He was the undisputed king of all violinists. Every great composer of his time fell under Paganini's spell. Schubert said, "Last night I heard an angel sing." Berlioz wrote for him the wonderful viola solos into his symphony, Harold in Italy. Rossini was moved to tears by the artist's playing, and they became close friends. And what a friend Paganini could be! When a melody from Rossini's opera Moses delighted him, he wrote almost overnight a set of the most dramatic variations on it to be played on the G string alone. This was an incredible stunt. Nobody had ever dared before. One evening in Paris, the young pianist Franz Liszt went to a recital given by the famous Paganini. Liszt himself had become a celebrity at the age of 20, but when he heard this bewitching playing, he felt that here was the supreme master. Paganini's La Campanella so fascinated Liszt that he cried, "I must transcribe this piece for my own instrument. All those charming little bells ringing from the tower. How can a man do it on only four strings?" Liszt also adapted six of Paganini's caprices for piano. Schumann did the very same thing. And many years later, Brahms wrote his brilliant Variations on a Theme of Paganini, part of which you will hear now. With the world at his feet, Paganini could have been a happy man. But his health, never very good, began to decline seriously. At 50, he felt worn out. More and more, he would rely on the companionship of his young son, Aquilino. From the boy's mother, the temperamental singer Bianchi, he had parted after 10 unhappy years. Now he took the youngster with him on his tours all over Europe. He adored Aquilino, who was a charming child and very musical. Often Paganini played for him by the hour, while the little one sat motionless at his feet. Then he would think back of the time when he himself was listening to Carlo play, long ago. been a great life, with every dream fulfilled. He had opened a whole new world for violin players, and he had written wonderful music. His name would be remembered forever. But now, he was tired. Very tired. In May 1840, with Aquilino at his bedside, Paganini reached once more for his beloved violin. But his hands were too weak to hold it. There was a strange sound in the room. Had a sigh come from the instrument? And then Niccolo Paganini closed his eyes forever. When visitors go sightseeing to the City Museum in Genoa, they may find Paganini's priceless violin hung in a glass case. It is well sealed in. Nobody shall ever again touch the instrument that has been played by the magic fingers of Niccolo Paganini.